courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand?
You hold my hand!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, April 9th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. When you log in to your online bank account, you might be greeted by a chatbot that tries to help answer any questions you might have. But let's face it, if you actually want to get anywhere, you usually end up having to talk to a real person, at least at the moment. That could change. Some researchers have high hopes for chatbots' role in your finances, including your investment decisions. Our personal finance reporter, Julia Carpenter, will join us with more after these headlines. We've been reporting that Apple is planning a software update in the coming weeks that will require app developers to get permission from users before tracking them, and how some ad tech firms have pushed back against the update, saying it'll kneecap their ability to tailor content to users. Now, we report that Procter & Gamble worked with Chinese firms to develop a way around Apple's new privacy rules. Here's our reporter Patience Hagen with more.
P&G is part of a trade association in China that's working on a way to do what's called device fingerprinting. It's a method where they rely on the signals that are inevitably passed between your phone and the apps, including the IP address. They track as many of those signals as they can, and they use that to kind of create an ID to identify the user on an ongoing basis. They're doing it to try to figure out a way to keep being able to track consumers and reach consumers with ads, even if those consumers opt out of sharing their ID.
P&G declined to provide additional details about the program, including whether they'll use the technology. The company said in a statement that its involvement was consistent with its goal of delivering, quote, useful content that consumers want in a way that prioritizes data privacy, transparency, and consent. A spokesman for Apple said apps that disregard its privacy rules would be rejected from the App Store. Federal labor officials are counting the votes cast in a closely watched union election at an Amazon warehouse in Alabama. The National Labor Relations Board has been processing the more than 3,000 ballots submitted since voting concluded on March 29th, ensuring their validity and giving both parties the opportunity to contest the eligibility of each one. A result could be announced in the coming days. The Biden administration has blacklisted seven Chinese entities that it says are helping to develop new weapons of mass destruction. The action blocks U.S. companies from supplying the groups with advanced semiconductors, among other technology products. And it comes amid a tightening of restrictions on China, which has often caught tech in the crossfire. The Chinese embassy didn't respond to requests for comment. GameStop says it'll nominate Chewy co-founder Ryan Cohen as chairman at its annual board meeting in June. Cohen joined the board in January and has been a major force in the company's shift away from brick-and-mortar stores and towards e-commerce, among other initiatives. The news comes as GameStop faces pressure to live up to its lofty new valuation after retail investors pushed shares of the company to new heights in a trading frenzy earlier this year. And Facebook released a data set yesterday designed to help artificial intelligence researchers evaluate their computer vision and audio models for potential algorithmic bias. The data set consists of videos of 3,000 participants of various skin tones sharing their age and gender. Here's our deputy editor of WSJ Pro Artificial Intelligence, John McCormick, with more on how it's supposed to work.
Artificial intelligence systems are trained on large data sets. But if a data set used to train a system includes mostly the photos of a particular demographic, such as middle-aged white men, it might not be accurate when it comes to identifying people of other demographics. And what Facebook is trying to do here is create a test set. So if people want to test an algorithm or an AI system, they can simply use this test to get a more accurate reading of how their system performs when it comes to things like bias and fairness.
Facebook's AI manager said the tool is just a step and that they're allowing outside developers to access the dataset to find ways to improve it. All right, coming up next, we'll talk about another tool. Those chatbots that help you navigate your bank's website, those could help you manage your money one day. We'll have more on that after the break.
I'm Alex Yule, host of The Readback from Barron's. It's been an extraordinary year for stock markets, particularly for companies going public. IPOs soared, and they show no sign of slowing down. But the boom didn't come out of the blue, and there was plenty of pain on the road to IPO success. So how do you put a price on innovation? This season on The Readback, we'll find out. We're winding back the clock on a decade of IPOs, from Moderna and Facebook to Uber and Airbnb. The Readback is available wherever you get podcasts.
Chatbots are everywhere, especially when it comes to banking and finance. At the moment, they're relegated to pretty basic tasks, but some in the artificial intelligence industry envision a future in which they play a much bigger role in helping you manage your money. For more on this, we turn to our personal finance reporter, Julia Carpenter. Hey, Julia, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So I think a lot of us have experience with chatbots, but can you just give us sort of a lay of the land of their role when it comes to banking and finance? You know, how common are they and how exactly are they used?
Chatbots right now are most commonly used for customer service issues. So they're asked, how do I change my account or how do I reset my password? And the chatbot then links you to a relevant page. So a resource that's already been created. It's kind of like a step in between functions. A chatbot can also answer basic questions from a pre-formulated list of FAQs, for example. So if you say, can I change my password? It would say, yes, you can change your password. Or when does this option expire? It would tell you it expires at the end of the month. What it can't do is expand beyond that to give personalized responses. A chatbot's kind of treating every customer as though they're a pre-formulated experience as opposed to understanding kind of the person's whole financial life in the greater context.
So it seems like kind of a limited use case at the moment, but some in the industry want them to play a bigger role in the future. What do they have in mind?
Absolutely. I think there's a world from the experts I talk to in which chatbots can actually give you advice. They know who you are. You're not just a customer trying to get to a destination. You're a customer who has these specific needs and wants and financial conundrums. So chatbots in the future could actually offer you tailored advice, or they could offer you consultations. They could know you more than just your immediate need.
It seems like a little bit of the goal is to make these chatbots more human.
Being able to talk in a conversational way is definitely one human quality that helps people open up to a chatbot. It helps someone feel more secure talking to a chatbot. But also, when I was talking with people for this story, a couple sources in the industry told me there is this fine line between something being too human. So we want to know that chatbots are robots and that they're good at their jobs. And we don't want them to be a little eerily too friendly or potentially too lifelike that it could disarm us.
Yeah. And on a related note, right now, when I find myself talking to a chatbot, I'm usually doing everything I can to get connected to a human instead. It seems like there's a pretty big gap between the future that you just described and where things are now.
So the big thing that kept coming up again and again in my conversations with experts in this space is that because the industry is so young, we just need to use chatbots more. Chatbots need to have more conversations, a greater database of conversations so that they can reference and learn and adapt. So as we use them more, we'll be able to have those conversations in a more effective way.
And finally, you know, if researchers are able to overcome those challenges, if we are able to use them more and train them better, what could that mean for the future of banking and finance?
We're already seeing certain brands using AI, using augmented reality in this way. I'm thinking of the Sephora chatbot that actually allows you to try on products, or there was this one COVID-19 chatbot that would actually vet your symptoms for you. So these chatbots that progress in this way could actually meld with other technology to maybe develop something we don't even know to expect yet.
All right, that's our personal finance reporter, Julia Carpenter. Thanks, Julia.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.